Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Get up, get up, let's get ready for Marcus Maven. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back, welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And I feel like it's one of those report card days. Anxiety, report card days, lot to work with. We're going to have a good time. Steve Rummage in the building, Nikki V in the booth.
We're here, man. It's gloomy outside, which is okay. That's the time of year it is.
It's an accurate weather description.
Yep. It was a good...
A little Big Ten-ish.
Well done. Yeah, well done, God. it's kind of... it's going to be an interesting one. It's an interesting one. I feel as though I could do the show like this, and I could really just be done. I could do this right here. Welcome to Middays with Marcus Maven, Louisville had a pretty good season. I think you're going to win some games here going forward. You just don't want the Kentucky game as much as they do. All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow.
Unless y'all want to call.
Yeah. I don't have a lot more synopsis than that.
You can't do that, Steve.
I know.
That you can't run radio. Is this like the big boy days? This is a big boy day of radio.
But this is the day where I struggle. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not bringing you into that. These are the days where I struggle. I didn't tweet once this weekend. It was kind of like, yeah, that's about what I thought. Y'all just don't want the game as much as they do.
Right.
And I think you can win a lot of games here. I don't think you'll win that one very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll win a lot of games here.
Right.
The great prophet. There's the great prophet. I mean, you have Gandhi's and Jesus's.
Marcus Thomas.
Marcus Thomas. But the great prophet Mark Ennis, who I hold up there with those other ones, said at the beginning of the tenure, and he had no idea how right he was, or he did. He said, it's a sensible salad. and I'm not mad. I'm not firing him. I'm definitely not extending him, but I'm not firing him. And I'm just like, that's about what I thought.
Well, Steve, this is the day.
Recruiting, I'll put a little ranch on it.
Right?
Yeah, I'll put a little ranch on it.
Listen, Steve, this is the day for me that I get to dig into my, I don't want to say imagination. I get to dig into my, my positive side, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, hey, this is the ultimate half full, half empty type of day, you know? And I say, this is what I always say, Steve, what can be fixed?
Mm-hmm.
What has to be fixed?
Sure.
What is a real problem and what is a real solution? Today is a day I deal in solutions, not half empty rhetoric, you know, like I said, and here's the thing. It's not all positive, but the mentality of solutions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's this one I don't do.
Yeah.
The extreme.
Yeah.
The extreme ones today. Yeah. It's like, no, let's have a real conversation today. This is a problem. Is this a fixable problem? Do you think he's going to fix that? What does he have to do to fix that?
Because let me be honest with you. Fan Steve, just total fan Steve, is like, dude, if you're not going to be Kentucky, just go get somebody else. Like, I do that.
Right.
You know, and again, that's like my, because even though.
But that's a good example of an extreme point.
And we all have the extreme in us.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, gosh. I mean, that's why we were talking on Saturday. That's why I'll call you and talk to you during a game. Because I can not be embarrassed after the game. Like, you got to have somebody you trust.
Because it gets context to it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets total context to emotional versus, is this rivalry talk? Am I just angry? Is everybody blowing up my phone who never calls me until, you know, my team is losing? It's just like, golly, I get more random reach outs right after Kentucky losses than ever.
By the way, Nick, you look good today. Did you have a good weekend? Sorry, we just ignored you.
Nicky V in the
booth. Nah, I'm not playing this Saturday.
Okay,
no. You had a good Saturday.
They want the boost.
I'm just kidding, I'll play this. it was just a rough weekend. Rough weekend. I mean, come on.
Well, what happened? Tell us.
I mean, everybody, you know, everyone says I'm Big Blue Nicky and everything, but I mean, I'm pulling for the.
It's a
I'm
joke.
Pulling. I know, yeah, I know. Like, my L's are firmly up.
Yeah, everybody knows you like Louisville.
Yeah, so, no, it was.
Well, what else was rough? What about your personal life? Was anything rough in your personal life?
Something about my L's not going full the way up.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No, that wasn't it at all. Luchu.com promo code. I'm just kidding.
I'm just hoping you had a worse. I would feel better knowing you had a bad weekend.
I did. So if it makes you feel any better,
it does.
It was right spitty. But no, I told Steve this. Sorry, Marcus. I was kind of running around. Without fail.
They did not want to hear Nicky's story.
No, that's totally all that fine. Was. That's totally
that,
fine.
Whenever it's a good Marcus tease. Asks Nicky about his day, somebody says, oh, God, no.
Call right now.
Call right now. Make him stop. Make him stop this right now. Okay, give me the Cliff Notes version.
No, Cliff Notes version. Sorry, I wasn't meaning to talk that long. It just was rough.
It's rough.
And this is a good tease.
Is it rough? Like, I know if I tell Marcus, he's going to make fun of me about my
rough. Oh, no, I'm talking about the game. No, just
no,
that game.
No, outside
was.
Of the game.
I don't care about the game.
We're asking about your mental health,
no,
Nicky, about your spirit.
None of that matters.
We
don't need
mind.
To get into that. It's just a million paper
are
guys.
You in
Jeanette, no one cares.
Are you and Jeanette okay?
Yes, keep your hands off.
And that's where I was going.
All right.
Well, who do we got on the phone if we need to take that really quick?
Well, what I was going to tease was, and this pertains to the show, not my own crap.
Okay.
I talked to Steve about this in the back, and I cut a couple callers from this weekend.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay, and I mean, we're going to get a ton of callers anyway, and a lot of these might be the same people. But there were a couple that I saw on different spectrums, and I wanted to play them and see, like, you guys give a credence to what percentage of the fan base you think is talking about this, and what you agree with, what you disagree with. But we got Lawrence to start us off.
Before we take this call, Lawrence and anybody else, 8150-939 is the number. Obviously, Lawrence already knows that. 3831-939. If you have a complaint or a compliment, compliment. All you want. If you have a complaint, have a solution. Have an idea for a solution. This is not the misery line. Okay? Please do that for me. Like, complain and say, this is what I think we should do about this.
Yeah.
You're gonna drag me down to hell.
No, You're going to drag me up. That's what we're going to do.
Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
What's up, Marcus? What's up, Steve?
What up, man?
Well, first off, I've been sick for the last 2 days, so this is my first time reacting to the game.
It's a lot going around.
Yeah.
So, my opinion, I thought the running game was good. The offensive line played good. But the problem I had was the quarterback play. Once again, I thought Brock held the ball way too long on certain passes, and just like Malik did too. And to me is, you got to get a better quarterback in there, somebody who's not going to hold the team up. Because as long as you have bad quarterback play with this team, you're going to keep on losing to Kentucky, because Kentucky did what they normally do. They got up late, then slow the game down, stay running the game, and stall the clock. So that was mainly what I saw. So if you get better quarterback play, you're going to keep on getting the same results we've been getting for the last couple of years.
Appreciate the call, Lawrence. Listen, that was the most level. That was level-headed, Lawrence. I expected a little more emotional, but I guess that his energy level probably had to calm down a little bit and not get too worked up.
No, I think Lawrence. I think that's the perfect first call to take, because I think that's where a lot of people are. You know, it's like I don't really know what to think. Why this is a good show. That's why our show is one of the ones that I can just come on here and I can be honest with you guys.
Let me ask you the question. Quick answer.
Okay.
And then we'll take the phone call.
Yeah.
Are we closer from this bad season? Do you think the team that was on the field, you think it's closer to 9 wins or 6?
I think they're about right where they're at, in between. Right?
The ghost of Brian Hall
right?
lives on.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Plumber Chuck.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's going on, guys? I hope y'all had a great weekend. First part of the business, I'm going to give a shout-out to my wife. She flew in a hot air balloon Saturday morning, and she won the BSOC race first time out with pilot Dan Haler.
Wow.
Going to give a shout-out to her. And then second of all, me, you know, I'm kind of hard on set. You two know that. I'm not going to be hard on him today. I'm just going to say this. I'm not extending him until I see what we got next year.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you asked the question about, are we closer to 9 or are we closer to 6? And Drew and everybody else was talking about it preseason, 6-6, 7-5 is about the same thing. Now, I'm going to give him props for going down there, and the team played hard, and they played okay. I'm not going to bash the guy or anything today, really, to be honest with you. I think he did all right. I think he did show in the last part of the season that he is trying to turn it around. So I don't extend him, but I want to see what happens next year. And if we go in 6 or 7 next year, then we're going to talk about not extending him. So
right.
Y'all have a great week. We'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. I will say I did see adjustments. Like if I'm judging him based on, you know, some – like I – okay, put it this way. I didn't see a lot of step backs.
Yeah.
But the improvement is so slow to us, to the fan base.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I kind of agree with everything Plumber Chuck just said for the most part.
Right.
I mean, it's like, am I extending him? No. Am I firing him? No, I guess not. I mean, I don't think if I had
the perfect fit for Louisville.
I mean, if I had a former player that was in a Big Ten title game, maybe. But like, I don't have that that I know of. And it's like, no, seriously though, like I don't think it's a that. I don't know.
let me get to the next caller. Butch, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Marcus. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
He lives.
Yeah, he's alive.
Hey. And I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry y'all got y'all. So, listen, I just want to ask one question, though. I got one question to ask. Y'all ready?
I'm listening.
How come all season, every year, at least the last 4, all y'all talk about is what the SEC does against what teams do against Kentucky in the SEC, like Vanderbilt. Y'all laughed about that. Y'all laughed about South Carolina. All I saw was South Carolina in Clemson's 40-game winning streak and beat Tennessee as well, knocked them out of the title shot. And the bottom line is, when it comes down to it, it's Louisville against Kentucky. It's not nobody against somebody
else. Are you really calling in to brag about the teams that beat you?
When was the last time you called?
Yeah.
You haven't called all season.
Like, this is pathetic, man.
Last time I called, Steve hung up on me.
That's not true.
You call in after you won the rivalry game to brag about the team.
How could you listen every single day and only call one time?
The teams that beat us are pretty dang good, okay? You got the same record Louisville does, man.
But going forward, though, can we predict the games after they're over with? Because I always predict before, and I've jinxed the team, man.
How the hell do you predict a game that's over, Butch?
Well,
if that was the case, I'd win a ton of money.
You just don't want any radio. You just want us to leave radio.
Butch, I'll bet you $1 million that this past season Louisville goes 7-5.
Hey, man. All I'm saying is that
you
always try to draw comparisons to what the conferences are doing, but SEC is the best conference in football. That's all I'm saying.
We've said that a million times on
the
radio.
Appreciate the call, Butch.
But I've also said you don't play SEC football.
Just because
you don't beat nobody. What are you talking about? I mean,
we should have won.
Yeah.
Jason, that's why we're mad at our coach. Jason, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a question for y'all. Give me your just honest opinion about this.
Okay.
I am so unsatisfied with this 7-5 season. I didn't think I'd say that in August. But I have it just did not feel like we won 7 games. And it didn't help at all getting, you know, that game this weekend wasn't close. Wasn't close at all. But I mean, how do y'all feel? Any satisfaction? Are you like me?
Well, let me work backwards, Jason, because I agree with you that Saturday did not feel close. Like, there was a moment where when you came out
the
second
half. I was
worried
that it was going to look closer than it was because I wanted to have clear eyeballs on what I just saw.
And when you came out in the second half, it was 7-13. There was a moment where it was like, okay, if we go score here, maybe. And then, that was on the first play was erased. Like, you were like, oh, yeah.
Door's closed.
Yeah, we have. So I do agree with you there. And then to back up like I said, working backwards, 7-5 in August to what Jason said. And I'm glad he put that on there too. It was like, oh, yeah, man, in August, I'd be like, yeah, 7-5, you know. Well, when you watch it, you're like. Duke beat
this
Wake Forest
was
this week.
Legendarily extreme 7-5. Like, you've never seen a start and been that disappointed.
I agree with that.
You're 100% right.
I agree with that. And it was a tough. I mean, Jason, man, appreciate it, man. That's a good call. But I agree with him to an extent. It's kind of, again,
you went extreme.
Sensible salad. It's kind of what it feels
like. You went extreme and then extreme with the win streak. And that last weekend, like you said, you looked at some scores around the league.
Yeah.
And you said we were a little bit.
Well, let's look at it in totality really quick. It's super quick. And because I want to keep the phone lines going. I know people want to get in here. But let me look at it in totality. You come out, you poop the bed, start the year off. Just like, oh, well, that sucked. Then you come back, you beat a good UCF team. Which is probably your best win. Mm-hmm. I think that was your best win of the year. It was on the road. You beat them. Again, looking back at it in totality, again, mm-hmm. I think that's your best win. You know, and then you kind of have the ho-hum. Then you lose to Florida State in a game which you blew to their backup quarterback. You know, you beat a USF team. You come back. You lose to a terrible Boston College team. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you kind of think, okay, here comes a run. You beat Virginia. Which was, they're not good, but whatever. To me, the Pittsburgh game was right up there with one of your better wins. You beat Wake Forest, they fall off the face of the earth.
Right.
You know, then you lose that Clemson game that's kind of hyped up, and that Clemson game felt a lot like Kentucky. It was a game that you were in, but it never really felt like you were in.
Mm-hmm.
You come back, you beat an NC State team who then turns around and beats UNC. So I'll cancel out the Wake game. And then you go into your rivalry game, and you don't feel like you ever have a shot. I mean, it's just kind of like, nah.
if you had names, it's like no, yeah, no.
We're not going to get that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, nobody you played against felt like a big game except for nobody Clemson. You beat.
Florida State would have.
Yeah, right. Okay, Florida State. Fair
you,
enough.
You that, won that game. That would have. I think that would have changed a lot of perception. You know, a little bit like going through there.
Or just, is the more we talk about it, the more it feels like the landscape was just.
Or was I right a couple weeks ago when I just said? And again, I'm not calling for the man's job or anything. Am I right when I just say we just don't like him? I don't know. As a fan base, it's just kind of like we're trying to like you. I'm just kind of like eh. Yes, I like the recruiting. I don't hate okay, the product.
Okay, let's just say he hasn't captivated the fan base
yet.
Let me get to the next caller. Who do we got up next, Nikki V?
That would be Ben.
Ben, fire away, my man.
Oh, what's up, guys? Great show, by the way. Yeah, I'm pretty much out on set. But I was Mark the solution for the video. And receivers were like non-existent. Tight ends were non-existent. I thought our O-line could be better than that. I thought we were better than O-line. It wasn't bad. But it didn't get better. Our offense wasn't even top 50, and we had offensive success. So that's the big issue for me. I guess our solution to that would be our recruits coming in, but that's going to take some time. My person I was going to do at my school. Another issue I had is.
Hey, Ben, could you speak up a little bit?
I'm sorry. You're fine. It's connection. Yeah, you're good.
It's year four, and we had no hope that we could even beat Kentucky on a down year or even beat Clemson on a pretty much a down year. They didn't have a quarterback all year. They've been playing basketball.
A down year for them.
Yeah. What happened is that. So, I mean, I'll support, you know, I'm a Valor, so I'll support. But, like, you're not going to get the everyday fans to buy into this. There's no hope. There's nothing to grab onto, man. I ain't got to listen, guys. I love you guys.
Appreciate the call. Got a quick question, Steve.
Okay.
When someone – are we judging Coach Satterfield with – with the expectations of we want to be ACC champions? Are we judging him based on Kentucky? Are we basing him on? Because here, let me stop.
Yeah.
Big boy football is Louisville's over a 20 year. If you take let's just say 15, the last 15 years, right? Last 15 years, the idea is when we look at a team, can we sit a roster out there and not get?
Can we win? Not will we win, but can we win?
Can we win?
Yeah.
Are we physically strong enough? Mm-hmm. Because, listen, and I'm taking a big Back to the Future moment, people.
Ben is calling from the upside down. I'm in the room with you guys.
Really? Listen. Sorry. That was fun. Louisville, 2009, 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, okay, my guys are big enough to compete.
Yeah.
They're aggressive like the big boy teams. Hey, we don't have the depth, but we have the size.
Yeah.
So that's how you judge. Like, or that used to be how we judged our teams. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fear of losing that because of this kind of zone read style of play, scheming up. You know, it's like, okay, we had a Charlie who could run it downhill. We had a offensive guru who could always have somebody. You could, even if we weren't the biggest guys, we knew Bobby Petrino could make bigger guys look stupid sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've got a mind there that can scheme around anything.
Yes.
You can get busted,
and
but he can scheme around anything.
I feel like sometimes when I watch this team, it's like.
He can make a Big Ten title game, or he could lose to. I'm done. That's the last one.
When I watch our zone read scheme, when I watch it, it's like, okay, I know that I can beat 80% of or 60 to 80% of teams on my schedule.
Yeah.
So that's my 7-7, six. I know I can beat. But my facilities are A1. My coaches, I pay my coaches A1. We provide the support. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in that 6-8 every year, but feel like I can't physically put my guys out there and win physically.
Yeah.
At the top notch. That's where my disappointment, I'm banging my head on the ceiling psychologically by saying, I watched the Kentucky game. I watched 3rd and 3. I watched them.
I watched videos coming out of their card march thing, whatever they call it over there. You could look at that and you're like, they're probably going to beat us. I mean, I sent you a video. Yeah. And was like, they're probably going to beat us. You can see.
Was it the attitude? Was it the size? Or was it everything?
No, it was just they're just.
They look like a more developed program.
They play this game like their lives will be taken if they go back to that locker room with a loss. Like, Kentucky is not good this year. They're not a good team. I mean, they were 6-win team going into the game.
They knew they were going to save their season
and they look like somebody stands at that locker room and is like, don't walk back in here with a loss.
All right, let's go get them, guys. 1, 2, 3, break.
Yeah, and they play that way.
West End Wayne, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
They play like it's the Turkey Bowl.
What's happening, fellas?
What up, man?
Rough weekend, man, but I'm just a straight up man, and I'm just going to tell it the way I see it, and Josh Hurd should be seen the same way. Scott's a good dude, man, but he's not going to stay there. If he does ever get a 9-win season, 10, he's going to take the first jump he can anyway. The man up the road, bring him home. He wants to be here. He will put the seats, the butts back in the seats. That's embarrassing to look at that on TV, and people could say COVID caused it, big screen TVs. No, it's juice is what's causing it. We don't have the juice. We need that juice back. I think he would bring it. And anybody that wants to compare the Kenny Payne hire to this, you're ridiculous. You know nothing about basketball. Give the man his due and his time. You'll be eating your words the next couple of years with Kenny Payne if you'll just be patient and let him do his thing. Bring Braun back to Louisville. It's inevitable anyway that he's going to leave, man, eventually. He's not happy there. He's not a good fit. It's not that we don't like him or we're a bad fan base, man. It's just a fit.
Are you hoping that he leaves?
I'm telling you what needs to be done to the university to salvage what's going on up there, because it's embarrassing to see it on TV, for one. It's hard to recruit, number two, that way. And the style of offense that he runs.
I mean, hard to recruit. He has a good class right now.
Until they're here signed, yeah. But, you know, with the NIL and all that, they could jump in one season, be gone. I want guys that want to be there, not just for the money, but wants to be there. And I want a head coach that understands this rivalry. I don't care. You know, I do care about wins. Everybody does, of course. But, man, to get beat 4 years in a row by this team that we know we should be competing with by now, it's ridiculous, and it's uncalled for, and Josh has got the opportunity now because, look, Brian wants to be here, and rightfully so. People could say, well, he's not done that at Purdue. Well, he's in the Big Ten championship. Yeah, it may be a weak side of the conference, but he's there.
Are you rooting for Brian or Michigan?
I'm rooting for Brian, but, hey, listen, and I'm not a big Brian thumper, but I like to put the puzzle together the way it ought to be. And I think he solves a lot of issues there. Now, this is if he hires him a big time defensive.
I was going to ask you that. Like, what if he brought in? You know, like, do you think he needs a offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator?
I think he's got to bring some defense with him. I think the offense will be fine with him at the helm, and he needs a coordinator. But he's got that handled. I know he would. But can he get out and get a big-time defense?
But didn't we rank really high on defense?
I don't think they got big guys, but I don't like that style of defense. He could upgrade his defense and be a phenomenal team. And I think he could do that here by recruiting down south more, and he's got the up north connections now, too. People need to keep that in mind. And, look, guys, he's a Louisville guy, man. He will bring those butts back in the seats, which helps the team play better, recruit better, and bring money to the university because
wait. I don't want to turn this into a Brom commercial.
I'm not trying to do that, Marcus. Steve, I'm not. I'm just seeing it from a fan's perspective, guys. I know you all got jobs there to do on the radio, and you do a fantastic job of it. But I'm tired of seeing this the way it's going. And to me, if it takes him another couple of years to get to the size that he needs to compete with the Southeastern Conference brand, what good have we done when he finally does that and he says, you know, Brown from Carolina is retiring, so they're offering me a big spot, man. I got to go home. You know, what do you guys expect of me? Same thing that I'm saying to you right now. We got to make a change. The man wants to come home. He don't want to go.
Wayne, I got to move along, my man. In worship, appreciate the call. Like I said, I understand some of that is, you know, hey, UK frustration. You know, obviously, once he. I will say this: anybody, if you talk about the offense, I can stat you and say, oh, we can fix it. And defense, I can say, you know, we had a good defense, and mm-hmm. I can fix it. But Wayne kind of hinted to it. You and I, Steve, have said it. You want to be able to line up and hit somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't have a violent brand of football.
Well, I just don't want to feel like I go into a rivalry game and every year they want it more than I do.
I think we don't physically look as strong.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that too.
That to me, and to me, I'm like, okay, if I removed everybody's anger from the table and said we went and got a strength and conditioning coach from damn, we already did that. Tim, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's going on, fellas? So first off, happy late Thanksgiving to you boys.
Same. Appreciate it.
Had a great one. So I'm with you guys. It's kind of a blah feeling. And Marcus, you just asked about, you know, how are we judging the program? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know the answer to that. But I will say there's a couple things that I look at. We're playing a Bobby Petrino quarterback still 4 years later. We have a Bobby Petrino player at quarterback. That has not been developed, that area of the program. And when you look at the schedule, just take this year's schedule. You know, I feel like there are games that are like hype games, right? Games that the fans are getting hyped for, the team should be getting hyped for. And then you have other games that are like, you know, hey, these are big games. We kind of have to win this one, must win type of things. But the hype games, Syracuse, right? The first game of the year, you got all summer.
Mm-hmm.
You get excited. We come out and we lay an egg. And then you're fighting back, right, against UCF. You're fighting back. Can we scrape out a win? We win that game. Then another hype game, Florida State. Come out, lose that game. Clemson, we got a shot to beat them this year. Everybody's getting hyped. Go down there and lose again. And then Kentucky, another hype game.
Do you think that's player-centric? You think that's a coaching thing?
I don't know what it is. I'm not paid to know what it is. I'm not paid to change it. But I do pay to go to the game. And so it's frustrating because I see people, you know, they're like, well, the fans need to come back on board next year and all that kind of crap. But what is there to get me excited? Because here's the predicament that fans are in. I'll be at every game next year. I will be. I'll be at every game next year. But should I continue to pay $1,000 plus for season tickets? When I can go and get a ticket for $10 and sit in my same seat because it's empty, the place is half empty. So it's frustrating because I want to.
What if you had? Let me ask you this: would you pay $1,000 to watch the number one running back in the United States of America wear the Louisville uniform?
Is he on the program? Is he in the program yet? Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. And that's another thing, Marcus. So last year, the day that the Tyree and Neely and all that crap went down, and you all were on the air for like 18 hours, right. It was an incredible day. Everybody said, well, you got to give Stats this extra year because, you know, this isn't what we want, but you got to give him an extra year. And now we're back in the same situation this year. And like, well, you got the recruits coming in now. You got these recruits coming in. We got to give him the extra year. Well, next year, what's going to happen if we go 6-6 or 7-5 and lose to Kentucky again? You're going to say, well, you know, they're just freshmen. You know, you got to wait. You got to wait. Give them time to grow into the program.
Now, that's a point. That's a point right there, Tim. That's a point I can get behind for sure. That it does feel like, yeah.
I don't think it's healthy to make a change every 2 or 3 years. Right. But I just don't. We're in the same spot. He was 8-5 his first year. He was 8-5, and the less and less Bobby players we have, the worse it's gotten. And we're still playing a Bobby player at quarterback. So I don't know what the answer is. It's just a predicament that I know a lot of fans are in. Do you want to continue to pay the bigger money for games? Not that I pay big money. You know, I don't make the big money and get the free tickets like a lot of you guys do.
Tim, I got to roll along.
Tim, money, or do I want to pay $10 for a ticket?
Appreciate the call, Tim. I got to roll along. I'm going to try to clean out these last two calls as quick as I can. So fire away as fast as possible. Harold, fire away, my man.
You know, in the NFL, you build yourself to win your division. And I think Seth has to build himself to beat UK and to compete against that game. The size that we need to compete against UK will help us in the ACC. Starting out this season, Seth had to get some 7-8 wins, and I wasn't going to complain if he came back. He did that. And so now he needs to stack recruiting class. He got one coming in. He needs to stack another. Mm-hmm. And the last point is, Wayne said it earlier, though, once he gets to that level that he has to get to, right,
mm-hmm.
then he's in a position to leave us. And so that really is a conundrum. Yeah, I mean, you know, just enjoy. I guess just enjoy him winning, just enjoy him doing his thing, and enjoy the process.
Yep,
and I don't know how much we want to enjoy the process, right, because that's what it's going to be moving forward. Get 2024 in here. We need Flyville 2025.
Harold, I gotta keep it going. I gotta keep it rolling.
But I also don't want to feel like that. I'm like,
I don't care if we win 10 games. I'm not gonna worry about it because coach left us with a good job.
But also, man, when we say things like, oh well, we've got to get up to where we can compete with UK. UK sucks this year. they won six games to seven games.
Listen, Kevin, you got to be quick. Kevin, fire away.
Hey, man, these people killing me talking about it looks terrible on TV. We'll come out to the game. We was out there every week. And then the guy that said he's paying $1,000 a year, forget them $1,000 tickets. We got 165 and got the best seats in the house in the Adidas section. You know, everybody's always want to come back with this revisionist complaining. You know, Louisville fan base, they are front runners. They like a winner. So if they act like they're so disappointed, why weren't they out there the whole year? You know what I'm saying? So it's obvious that they had already gave up when they wasn't coming to the game. So don't try to wait.
I mean, Kevin, this is the day after the UK loss,
like
though.
Disappointed. Yeah, but look, who was the most? Who was the MVP for UK after the game?
The kicker.
I mean, I listened to the kicker. That's a big improvement. You think about Petrino's last year. Every team on the schedule in the back half hung 50 points, son. We was looking like clowns.
He wasn't the coach anymore.
I'm just saying. But that was still his team. Just because they fired him before. That's the last year. You know, the last year before Satterfield got here, it was name your score. Everybody scored 50-plus points. Now we got to a point where the defense has got an identity, and I can see them building on that. Either you got to roll with that or find something else to do and quit acting like you football fans because you're not.
Okay, Kevin, I got to run along. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Braben and the 93 on the Veil. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 81-50, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Good energy. Good energy coming back. Good energy on the phone calls. Good energy on the text line. Like I said, I did want to remind Kevin and everybody else that we have to grade a little bit on the curve to the fan reaction. If you listen to the post-game show, I was proud of the fan base kind of big picture attitude. I mean, you can acknowledge effort. You can acknowledge that you're not satisfied with the season. You can acknowledge all those things and not just try to start a revolution against Louisville if you don't get your way, you know, in a part. But listen, I'll say this. And this is critique time. If I told you I thought we had enough talent, like a talent to win, to be satisfactory on this team, we have the talent, right? Mm-hmm. If I said we need more talent. Of course, we need bigger, you know, more five stars, more, you know, depth and all that good stuff. But I do say, and you know how I am. It takes me about 3 years when I dig in on something. This is what makes me fold my arms. Like, if this doesn't get fixed, I will not support, you know? Mm-hmm. And it takes years to get me here. I can look at my team and tell there is not a desperation of, there's not a violent, practices are not violent. Spring practices are not violent. The scariest thing I heard, Steve, and I told you about it privately, I may have said it publicly, when I heard how healthy we are coming out of camp, you know, because listen, we as radio hosts, we as media are forced to sometimes interpret things, you know, read the tea leaves, you know, some things they tell us, some things they don't. We've had 1,000 coaches. We learned the languages our coaches speak. And Coach Satterfield is a speed coach. Mm-hmm. He fills with enough speed, he can do anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. With enough speed, his system can compete with anybody. And to me, in Satterfield's mind, in my world, there has to be a level of violence in football. I can say it violently, or I can say athleticism. You know, like kind of a, you know, an aggression level.
Sure.
And I know that only that aggression level comes from. Either you're a five-star, it just got the aggression day one when you get on campus, or you're in practices where and I say violent, downhill running, downhill hitting, not tackling. You know, that's the difference. Your teams that hit and didn't tackle are your winning teams.
Yeah.
All over football. Teams that make you think twice when the ball's in the air. Not, I'm going to get tackled. I watched a Kentucky freshman run a slant. No fear in the world. You know, mm-hmm. I watch a lot of our guys. I still watch our running back sometimes run upright. And I'm just saying over the course of the year. Sometimes they had, you know, this is not criticism of the running backs in particular because.
No, they were good.
But you could see them getting better at lowering their bodies. Mm-hmm. I'm saying spring break, my guys should be running low like that. I think our guys kind of took a page out of Tyon Evans' book and got better at, you know, running certain ways. And, you know, but I just say, like, my defense, I think schematically and speed-wise, we had all this talent, but just the pure, you didn't wear down running backs. You got them to the ground. You tackled running backs all the time. You didn't wear down running backs. You didn't wear down wide receivers. Our receivers didn't wear down defensive backs.
Yeah.
You know, and Marshawn, you know, early on, I say, Marshawn, you're getting tackled too easy. You know, a couple times, you know, maybe game four, he started lowering his head a little bit, you know, and kind of running through. And you see the improvement, but you're still like, we saw this early. This is a problem at the beginning of the seasons. The spring games, you know, when the fans complained and Coach Satterfield said, yeah, I didn't realize how much exposure you'll get out of the spring game. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. Coach, you know, those are the stigmas you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So now it's not a stigma as far as your physicality. It's not a stigma.
Yeah.
You know, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of your teams. You don't wear down the teams.
No.
You know, in my, like I said, in my just athlete opinion.
Yeah,
you know,
no, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not that straight down.
I don't disagree with
you're
that at all.
You're not making people plant their feet.
And the thing that worries me, I think,
like
you said,
like that's
yesterday,
a worry. Mm-hmm. That's a real worry.
Is even if you bring in the five star, I mean, you can coach violence out of them. You know, you can make them look like I think I used the analogy with you yesterday. You can make them look like a racehorse out in the mm-hmm. field all summer. And you're like, man, look at Reuben Owens. Man, look at Reuben Owens. Then you're like, Reuben Owens only been hit four times this summer.
Right, right. You know, he had three violent practices. And then you tell me everybody's healthy.
Now I'm going to unleash him in Atlanta to a team and try to rip his face off. You know, and it's like, and that's how you get beat by Syracuse. a team you should beat. You know, it's how you get beat. You know, in openers, and we don't look good.
I need to go find. Can you, Steve? Can you help me find that LSU gauntlet video?
Oh,
from a couple years ago. It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was awesome.
Listen, and if we don't do that, we're never gonna win.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Who do I got on the line? Colorado Cole, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I got some positives and negatives.
Okay.
Positives, I know we were just talking about physicality. I do feel like we're more physical this year than we have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Coach Souders for that. I think that'll only get better going forward.
Sure.
Negatives, quarterback's gotten worse, and that's where Satterfield is supposed to excel. So I just really would like to see improvement in the offense, and we took a big step back this year on offense. And then as far as physicality, going back to that, I had a couple Louisville fans and saying, man, Kentucky, they just kind of push you after the play. They kind of give you that little nudge.
That was driving Steve crazy. Steve was absolutely going crazy. sorry about that.
In football, you want those players to do that. You want to have physicality. You want to be mean. You want to be tough. And I think that we like that a little bit. If we could get a little bit more of that, I think we'd be a little bit tougher.
Listen, appreciate the call. We can go back to – and again, we understand that this is a fine line. But when you lose like this – those 50-50 balls are not on your court anymore. So when the Malik situation happens, like we literally could have lost our quarterback for the season, you know, at the end of the game, and Satterfield sprints off the field, right?
Yeah.
At the time, you're saying, okay, I get it, coach, you're being disciplined, you know, you don't want any kind of smoke, you know, with any of that stuff. And it's like, okay. But when you get beat like this, we have to compile all that and say, you complain about the L's down, you run off the field, you know what I'm saying? You know, whenever there's any kind of thing, you're just, you know, we're the dogs that are just on the leashes and everybody else is letting their dogs run off the leash and be a little aggressive and assertive. And it starts to become emblematic or symptomatic of your program.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that extra push, you know, that extra push here, the extra push there, eventually it's like, no, we can do this to them. And our players are on the field like, see, ref, they're pushing me. Ref, they're pushing me.
I know.
Then now you have a team full of, did you see that, ref?
Yeah.
Go back and this is me talking about what we see and saying, hey, we need to fix that part of it with the full understanding that we're saying edginess, we can recognize edginess, and we can give you passes on. If we get into an issue over Malik, coach, we can understand, and we'll listen. Not only can we understand, we'll go and kick down the ACC door when we see that Malik Cunningham play. And you got somebody suspended because of that. But when we saw that and our guys went over there and really, I don't want to say rioted, but really got involved in something, mm-hmm. We can give you a pass on that. We can say, okay, go get involved.
Yeah.
Go, guys, go get involved on this one. It's time. Can't let time go.
Yeah.
Is Nikki playing out? Let me give a special thanks to one of our newest team members. Welcome to the team, Kentuckiana Pump Sales. Every home, business, building, or municipality relies on the movement of the pumps they provide. The moment you need a water or sewage pump, think of Kentuckiana Pump Sales as first responders or essential personnel. Over 35 years of experience, best service at the fairest possible price. Right over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Go see Harold and Mark. They will help you find exactly what you need. Utility, sump, effluent, grinder, sewage, any kind of pump system you need. 3303 Industrial Parkway, Jeffersonville, Indiana. 812-725-7217 or just KentuckianaPumps.com. And this is Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER now for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.